おじけついて後悔する将来よりも二つから破って進めば広がる世界正しい引き金を引いてらしくない感情のお前が嫌いだ悲しい言い訳をしていつもヒロインを演じてるお前を憎んだ涙なんて
Hello friends and folks and welcome to another episode of Oops More Anime because sometimes all of it isn't enough I guess is that the catchphrase is that where I'm Six Detmar Hi Alan
All is not enough. Oops, more anime. I'm Alan Ibrahim. Oh, that's good.
Is it? I'm not sure.
It sounds like a James Bond title.
It does. Is that a good thing? Is this the part where we get super racist for a while?
Oh, we've been racist.
I hope not.
Wait, no. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. So we only talk about Japanese.
Yeah, So you and I covered the first core of Mobile Suit Gundam The Witch from Mercury, episode by episode.
My brain's so stupid. I thought you said Ewan, comma, I covered. Because I just watched Birds of Prey last night, the 2020 movie with Ewan McGregor as the villain. So good, by the way. Great movie. And I was like, Ewan, I covered? Anyways, please continue.
And by the end of that process, we were like, we should not do this again.
No way. No thanks.
We didn't find a first core of that show to be like episode by episode crit worthy or at least enjoyable, right?
Yeah.
It made us more negative on the show. And we ended that with and who knows what we'll do for core two. And we're here to tell you for core two, we're doing one episode right now and possibly one at the end. I felt like we kind of needed to do this episode either way, however we felt, just to be like, hey, since we left a question in the air, we're not leaving a question in the air anymore, right?
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be another thing at the end of the core. Don't hold your breath.
Mm-hmm.
But
also, it's like possible. In these three episodes is like a resolution to something that we talked about a lot in the mm-hmm. first season. And so we felt like, hey, we should at least come out and say, hey, we have thoughts about that decision.
So fucking funny.
I know. I was like, Six, you're either going to be really mad. You're either going to be really mad or you're going to laugh a lot. And it sounded like you laughed a lot, but let's get there.
I laughed a lot. So I have a nice long summary for us because these three episodes are kind of more eventful than the entire first core, if I'm being frank.
Kind of, yeah.
a little bit hyperbolic, but not very. Anyway, 2 weeks have passed since the attack on Plant Quetta. Mirene has been away ever since as both a key witness of the events and as the sole living relative to her now coma-ridden father. In his absence, Lady Prospera comes to Mirene to ask her to continue Quiet Zero, a project which she reveals as being the brainchild of both Mirene's father, Delling, and her mother, Nortet, designed to end war via data networking. Mirene talks to Dominica's commander and her father's confidant, Rajan Zahai, to unpack all this, and he explains the project, but encourages Mirene not to be bound by family legacy. At Astacasia School of Technology, the students of Earth House mutter darkly to themselves about recent events as they have been slapped with a gag order preventing them from discussing it with others. Suleta is bright and chipper, riding the highs of being back with Ariel and being useful again. She participates in a series of successive duels to catch up on the one she missed while Ariel was in for repairs and wins all of them easily. Unable to address their problems directly, the students turn their attention instead to the upcoming open house event for potential students, including a battle royale the holder must participate in. However, even this attempt to return to normalcy is disrupted when two transfer students show up from Earth to join Earth House. To most of the house, they are merely eccentric and odd, but Nika recognizes them instantly as Noria and Sophie, the pilots of the two Gundams that attacked Plant Quetta. She was already crumbling under the pressure of her connection to the Earthian terrorist group Dawn of Fold, and this recent incursion into her everyday life pushes her to the breaking point. She confronts them, and Noria and Sophie are less than receptive. In fact, they decide she's become a problem and try to kill her. Soleta stumbles into the scene and talks them down by challenging the two to a duel, which they accept for mysterious reasons. The reasons become clear when the battle royale starts, and Noria and Sophie crash the party in their Gundams, firing indiscriminately with live rounds. The duel is not the point. This is all a distraction for a smash-and-grab operation run by Shadik to kidnap his father. Battle Royale participants and bystanders alike are killed in the violence. As this happens, Gundam Fract creator Belmeria Winston goes to confront Lady Prospera about a suspicion she has about Ariel, which the lady confirms easily enough. Gundam Ariel is in fact her oldest daughter, Eric Samaya, turned into a Gundam somehow. This is how it can ignore permit link side effects, and how Suleta can pilot unharmed, and so much more. Eri is handling all of that as a sentient machine. As Belmeria reels with nausea and distress at the revelation, Eri begins to take the reins. Suleta notices Ariel suddenly fighting more aggressively and cries for the Gundam to stop, but it does not heed her. Ariel goes for the kill on Sophie to end the fighting, who has also realized that Ariel is alive and is ranting to an upset Suleta over comms about this revelation. Ariel goes in for the kill, but just before she can strike, Sophie's intense permit link kills her. Nori grabs Sophie's empty Gundam and escapes while Suleta struggles with denial over what just happened and Sophie's dying accusations that the big sis she's been obsessed with the whole time was never Suleta, it was Eri. In the chaos, Nika's guilt overwhelms her and she contacts Spacian authorities about Donafold and her connection to it. The Earthian revolutionaries get to her before the Spacians can and kidnap her, but the damage is done. As Noria puts it while furiously beating Nika, hundreds of Earthians will die in retaliation using the information Nika has leaked. On Earth, Donafold begins to evacuate, prioritizing the many refugees and other civilians under their care. A fight breaks out before everyone can escape, and numerous Donafold pilots die fighting back Banneret Group scouts. Gwelgit Urk, held by Donafold for a potential ransom, is left for dead in the initial attack, but manages to survive and futilely tries to save a dying girl. His failure is just one more death on his hands, and in the wake of the fighting, he pleads with a Donafold commander to let him leave to help his brother save their company from impending bankruptcy. The commander gives no answer, but stares sympathetically and contemplative as we come to the end of our third episode.
Boom.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. A darker beginning to a core than I was expecting. How did you feel about this batch of episodes in general?
I mean, I feel like there was a bit of a, like, well done, but a fake out, right? Where you and I predicted, like, okay, and obviously at the start of the second core, we're instantly going to be in school isn't how this works anymore.
Yeah.
And they fake us out and then get to that, right?
Right. School is briefly how things are, and you're like, are they going to do a fucking tournament arc? Like, really? Like, now? And it's like, no, we're not actually doing that. That's silly.
Mm-hmm. You can hear me on an episode, like, mention, like, that we're going to record this. And at the time, I'd only watched the first episode. Like, mm-hmm. The second was about to come out. And I was like, how do we feel about it? Not good, because the first episode does end with, like, Noria and Sophie about to kill Nika. And then Suleta's like, we should duel instead. And Noria and Sophie are like, okay. And at the time, that feels fucking embarrassing.
Yeah.
But actually, for once, they thought this through.
Yeah, it's about people almost expecting something more simple. Like, can we just get back to the way things are? And Sophie and Rhea are kind of introduced back into the story to be like, no, but you guys don't get to live in your little glass prison where you take the antenna off and that's how you win a duel. Like, we kill each other. There is war going on. People don't want you guys alive anymore. So I think it does a good job ratcheting up that, like, a maturity. And especially, mm-hmm. I think, obviously the reveal in of Eri is a big thing that we're going to talk about, but I wanted to give shout outs to, like, the whole thing with Guel going in a really cool direction in terms of him, like, trying to, you know, escape, and, like, that whole sequence where he's being force fed as a prisoner. I was like, I feel like I'm watching, like, a war film now. I don't feel like I'm watching a war anime. Like, I'm watching a live action film or something. It felt like it suddenly broke through the wall of like anime silliness. So I found myself really, like, engaging with Guel's plot, even though everything else in these is, like, a little bit over the top and kind of silly and dark.
Yeah, I mean, I think the third episode especially has very little silly in it. It is a much more, like, I feel like it kind of approaches Iron-Blooded Orphans in tone, in a way.
Yeah, what little I've seen of that show, I can feel that.
Where it is, you know, these kids caught up in war, and there's a lot of, like, stop fucking spouting anime tropes. We don't give a fuck. People are dying, mm-hmm. right? There's, like, yeah, that bit with the force feeding. I think, like, to me, it did kind of feel pretty anime, but, you know, I still like anime a lot, so that's not necessarily a bad thing. Where it's like, yeah, the dude like cramming food into his mouth saying, like, if you think you can solve your problems by dying, too fucking bad.
Right.
Yeah, you don't get to just run away from this. And, you know, the thing that is, I think, part of the difficulty they've had with Gwell is getting you to engage with him as a character, because first they've had really mixed messages over how much of a dirtbag he is, right? Or like, oh, does he have a crush on Suletta? Does he not? Is he this great pilot, or is he just a fucking chump because all we ever do is show him losing, etc., etc.? And I think the thing that's best about this is they have done a very classic, honestly, mecha anime thing of having this, like, traumatized, like, you know, usually young boy, but, right, this traumatized character who is like, oh, no, I got in the Gundam and things went so bad and now I can't do anything, and just sort of locked in their own head. But usually they're right and Gwell's not. Gwell didn't actually do anything wrong.
No, and I think to that point, though, like, if they're not going to show us that Gwell's a good pilot, at least he's a person with a moral compass. Like, he is, like, caring about other people and wants to, you know, escape and survive now. So that's what I mean by, like, they're doing things with his arc. Instead of just, he comes back, he trains, and suddenly he's the best mobile suit pilot. That would be fine. Maybe that'll still happen. But for now, it's like, well, let's figure out who the person is inside of that mobile suit first. And why they want to get out and escape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it does make me, like, I feel like for one of the first times, I, like, don't know where this is going, parentheses positive, right? I don't know where his plot is going. I don't know, like, if he runs off to space to help his brother, does that even look like, you know?
Yeah, is it the back end of Gurren Lagann where they, like, form a new faction and it's, like, then we have a time jump and they're, like, a rebel force or something? I doubt that.
Yeah.
I do start to suspect that the show is going to hit us with a time skip at some point. Maybe I'm being optimistic. I know that Gundam doesn't often do that, and it is in some ways about children. So, like, just aging them up would kind of change the point of the show. But, like, Suletta's arc, for example, could really use a fast-forward button. Like, let's go, guys. And it starts to get it in these episodes, right? She starts to be like, I feel like I'm being manipulated. I feel like I might be... And I messaged you, and I was like, are they finally doing this? And you were like, I'm not optimistic that they're doing it yet. I don't think that they're ready to, like, fully have her not trust her mom anymore.
Well, the thing is, right, I don't know, like, I think that's a perfectly reasonable way to understand what I said,
yeah.
Right? Because it's like, we have had, 13 episodes of talking, well, I guess 12, but of talking about this show and how it treats Suletta and how anytime Suletta's, like, not developing, they're fucking up, right? Mm. This is a time where I think it's good that she's not. Because if you're going to engage with the way you've characterized this person so far, like, okay, given what you've shown us of Suletta, if Suletta is confronted with something that she finds upsetting and, like, will disrupt her worldview, and then the person who has been pushing this in her face is gone, because it was Sophie who was just, like, forcing this on her and then died, the second no one is pushing this on Suletta, she is going to compartmentalize and push it out of her mind. That is just who this character is.
Yeah, it's, like, that's why it's important that Miorine has kind of, like, left her orbit, is they can have separate arcs, and Suletta is not just, like, looking for that validation. She's like, do I process this trauma, or do I just keep pushing through it and continue to fight? And so far, it seems like she is just continuing to kind of, like, fight and not dig into it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I think, like, that's I feel like, an honest portrayal of this character, right? Because it's one of the things that is tricky, right, is I was thinking about this recently. I forget what story I was reading some story, right? And events happened, and I was like, okay, as a writer, you write a character, and then you ask yourself, what would this character do? And I think one of the... I'm going to say amateur mistakes that people make is going like, well, this is what this character would do, therefore it has to be what happens, right? What if what the character would do would be stop participating in your story? You're a writer. Figure it out. Change that, right? You can't always obey the whims of a character you've written. And I can see, like, how you want Suletta to develop, and her character is, I don't want to develop, right?
Yeah.
I just want to be the hero with my girlfriend, and I want to, you know, like, do the bleh, right, as things go weird for me. And I think they're doing a great job, actually, of stacking up things where, like, I can imagine in an episode or two, whenever we see Suletta back in an aerial, her, like, piloting and smiling and just having her happy, normal self and having a moment of being like, hey, I can trust you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little bit of it building up to a point where she, like, she wants to confront it. And also having the people around her deal with stuff. It's okay to have the story be about how this character, ironically, given her motto, can't move forward, because everyone around her is.
Well, I think that's the thing about a motto, right? Is you say it, it's like a mantra. Mm-hmm. You say it to help yourself internalize it, and you can't always do that. So she cannot move forward.
She cannot advance.
She cannot.
Evangelion 3.0.
So Suletta can, parentheses, not advance. You make a great point there, though. And, like, this is actually, to me, good, nuanced, human character writing, which you don't often mm-hmm. see in shows like this. Which is to say, if I know that, like, man, the stuff I've been doing right now, kind of, like, you would think that I should do this. Sometimes people don't do that because we're humans. And there's something, like, tragic and also beautiful about the fact that we don't follow clean arcs like that. Sometimes we know, like, I should change. I should probably get this. I'm sure everyone listening to this can understand that. Like, you've been putting off something, and you know that your life would change it for the better if you did it. But you're like, oh, not today. I don't feel like it. I'd rather continue to be smiling and happy. Don't make me confront the horrors of war, or the fact that I've isolated one of my best friends, or the fact that my sister is my mobile suit, my, like, long-lost sister. Like, she's just not mm-hmm. ready, and she's choosing not. It's not that she's not seeing it. I think that was what was annoying in the first core for me, was like, why are you not realizing it? And now it's like, no, I think she's realizing it and just not changing, which is like,
she's a golem built out of denial.
What a fucking phrase right there, but
thank you. Yeah, I mean, like, it's one of those things where, like, okay, if you were a bad writer who does, like, the most logical things for your characters, you would write me to, after this, go get a car wash. I'm not fucking
No, you're not going. You're like, oh, yesterday, like, the arc dictates that yesterday your car was dirty, so today you have free time, you're gonna go for a car wash, and you're like, I'm gonna sleep for 3 hours in the middle of the day. That's what I'm doing. Fuck you. For thinking that, yeah, I would ever do something in line with my character arc. And that's Suletta Mercury, baby. Like, I want to mm-hmm. talk now about the reveal. I think we've put it off. But if we're going to talk about Suletta, we have to talk about the bombshell. Six was right. Absolutely fucking
there it is, folks.
The bullseye, center of the bullseye, like, arrow hitting the previous arrow. You were so right, to the point of I was, like, freaked out when it happened.
I wanna for the folks at home, this isn't like, this is the first time I'm getting this. Alan has been very restrained and not said this in the DM.
Yeah.
So if I'm a little like, oh, it's like, we're not, I'm not getting this a second time. This is like, yes, yes, I was.
Six's prediction about the identity of Eri and the difference between Eri and Suletta was exactly right. Eri, the girl that we saw in the prologue, who learned how to be a death machine as a baby and escaped, you know, a space station exploding, her consciousness was put into Ariel. So Suletta mm-hmm. is... we're not sure yet, but maybe a clone, or maybe just another child who happens to look this very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
Were you happy?
I honestly, I think I was happy. Like, this is sort of undermined. There's a very funny thing, which is you were like, oh man, you're going to have some real feelings about this episode. And so I sort of like low key live blogged me watching it to you uh-huh. in DMs. And there's a bit in that where they have some other like piece of news about like, oh, this is how these connections work, right? This is how like the permit, you know, forms like connections with brains and stuff. And I have a moment where I'm like, oh, I guess then it's technically possible that like, if you just pilot it enough, it could make a copy of your brain, and it doesn't need to be Eri in there, which is the first time I've doubted it since I put this theory up like 6 months ago. and then later that episode, it's like, no, you're totally right. I think it's not like, I was like, happy to be right, partially because it feels good to be right, but like mm-hmm. also because, like, as I put it up in that episode, it solves a lot of problems. It explains a lot of things that haven't made sense, right?
Yeah.
And even more than that, I really like that in the episode where this gets revealed is an episode where, like, we've had instances in fights where it feels like parts of the choreography are not directed by Suletta, but the intent is still hers, right?
Yeah, she's vaguely guiding it, but it's doing its own thing.
Right. She gestures, right? She sort of extends her hand, like, go, and the bits all attack on their own. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it doesn't give you the vibe that she's controlling them individually, which we now know she isn't. But you can tell that this is what she wants to happen. I think it's really important on this episode where you're like, and yes, it is not her. It is Arian there. That you have Ariel do something Suletta doesn't want it to do.
Right. Because Ariel's the one that kills Sophie, right?
Well, technically Sophie kills herself. Because that's the... I fucked up my summary. I wrote it like and did a revision because of like I was trying to make it flow a little more smoothly and I fucked it up. But basically... The moment kicks in where, like, we're switching between the scenes of Belmeria talking to Lady Prosper about, I've figured it out. And as this is happening, Ariel is like, no, fuck this. I'm going to kill this girl. And Suletta's pleading with it to stop. And Sophie keeps upping her permit score to keep up.
Mm-hmm. She overdoes
it. And the permit score burns out her brain before Ariel can kill her.
Right.
So, I mean, certainly she's responsible for the death, but, like, technically, Ariel doesn't land a kill shot because before she can, Sophie burns herself out.
So, as a result of the fight with Ariel, Sophie burns herself mm-hmm. out and dies. Also, just, like, fascinating to me that episode is called a prologue, the one, the Airy episode. Because, like, yeah, it takes mm-hmm. place years before, but it is now so important to everything happening in the show that... I almost feel like the hope that people watching the show or starting it are like, oh, this isn't just like a promotional thing or something, or like it takes place a million years before. Like, you have to watch that prologue and remember what happened in it. Because mm-hmm. this Airy reveal also, like, works way better when you recall what, like, Airy's role was in the conflict at first. I just think that's, like, so interesting. And, I mean, isn't Airy the narrator of the novel of Cradle Planet?
Yeah, the little short story, not a full novel,
yeah.
But yeah, and you get bits in there where Ariel is referring to Lady Prospera as mom, right? And also, I think you get like some things that will serve us well here, right? Where like Airy has spoken as Ariel, mm-hmm. but only to Suletta, and we haven't heard it, right? And so it's easy for us to be like, what are Airy's intentions here, right?
Right. She's not just whispering, but, like, gay, homosexual, gay, and then Suletta's like, Roger that. Well,
I mean, it's not impossible, but mm-hmm. anything could happen. Anime is a world of possibilities. But yeah. But we do get her voice in Cradle World, right? Mm-hmm. Where we get her like internal monologue or sort of like talking, but like no one can hear her. And we know from that she's incredibly defensive of Suletta, that she's like, no, I, like, listen, if you want to, like, you know, make me do shit, I don't want to. That is what it is. But you've got to, I want something better for Suletta,
yeah.
Right? And so we're able to, because of that, you could have a couple of readings of what happened in episode 2. Is it like, oh, like Ariel got like bloodlust or went berserk? And it's like, no, Ariel is watching Suletta not defend herself mm-hmm. and is like, I guess I have to step up here.
Right. She's not going to make it if I don't help right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really cool. And like the extra media now enhances what we already know about Airy. And so I'm wondering, like, are they going to double back on that and reestablish that for the anime only people? Or is this just like a plot line that's only going to make a lot of sense if you've read the light novel and watched the prologue?
I assume we'll get some... Yeah. Hmm. It's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Because it's been done. They've done it. They've explained... We actually know who Airy is, and we have a little bit of... Like, a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit of perspective on her life. If this was a Western television show, we would get a whole episode that's, like, 50 years... Or, whatever, 25 years ago. and it would just be like Eri as a teenager or something, hanging out, and then like the process of her mom putting her into the suit.
Mm-hmm. It's also really like a consequence I didn't think of, even though I sort of indirectly gestured at it, like it, unintentionally, I suppose, gestured at it. I used in the episode where I laid out my argument that Ariel is Eri, right?
Right.
One of the things I referenced is a JRPG where someone is basically replaced, like is kidnapped and replaced with a clone, right? Mm. I won't repeat the whole thing because I don't want to spoil it again for people if you somehow missed that episode. But in that JRPG, part of the premise is like this person comes back and suddenly they like, it's not just like, oh, they have amnesia. It's like they are bad at like motor tasks and knowledge things, like bigger than amnesia, right? And the answer is because they were just born, right?
Right, right.
And so they're kind of incapable for a little while. One of the consequences I didn't think about in all this of Eri being Ariel. Mm-hmm. Suletta's not special at all. Like, you know, yeah. I think she's a nice girl. She's not a good pilot. She just says go to Ariel.
Well, do we think they're going to do that? Or do we think it's going to be like, only you can pilot Ariel because you have a connection to her? And that's the part that still makes her special.
I think that's like, that's possible, right? But I think I believe this, and I think the show will believe this, that that's not making you special, right? Yeah. Like, if the thing that is special about me is that my big brother will beat the shit out of you, I'm not special, my big brother's special.
Yeah, or is it a symbiotic relationship where Ariel can only be special in the hands of Suletta? Like, we only work well together, and so we are, like, collaboratively special. I don't know. I'm just trying to like, mm-hmm. play around in the possibility space. But it is a cool idea that she could, like, you know, be like, I'm the best duelist or whatever, and then they're like, no, you're not. You just, like, someone else could just do that. Your suit is what's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You are deprioritized.
I hadn't thought about this till now, but, like, we see, which Elan is it? Is it Elan 3?
It's 5.
No, but the one before was Elan. Okay, Elan 4.
It was 4, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day, we see Elan 4 very briefly pilot Ariel do almost nothing, but we know that someone else can make Ariel move. Maybe can't, like, I don't know if there's a, like, oh, no one else can link with it in the same way, or if Ariel wouldn't let someone, right, unless she were convinced in some way. Mm-hmm. But, like, other people can pilot this thing. But the other thing you got to wonder is, Elan comes out of that furious, right? Yeah. He comes out of that machine and he's like, I thought we were the same and we're not. Ariel is not what I thought it was. Does he know the whole thing, or does he just know that it's not permit linking with him?
I don't think he knows the whole thing. Not at this point.
Well, I mean, he died anyway. So also true. Whoever that was. Yeah, I mean, like, you can have the character who has the shocking revelation and then dies 30 seconds later, right? Anime loves that.
True.
But you're probably right. There probably wasn't enough evidence for him to figure out the whole situation.
I didn't think about that, because Elan 5 is kind of introduced in these episodes to be like, hey, Elan's still around, and he's useless again, and he sucks again, and you're like, them being able to reset a clone just means that he's never allowed to develop as a character, and I'm getting tired of his little bits, him being a creepo and stuff.
I am definitely getting a little tired of that too, though I feel like Elan 5 is probably going to go the distance. I feel like the way they did Elan 4 is to make you initially resentful to Elan 5, mm-hmm. and then also the way he behaves, and he'll slowly develop. But, like, it feels very much like, hey, we're establishing that these people can be erased at any time, to have that as dramatic tension, and now we're not going to do it. You know?
Also, like, he has to now earn the trust of the characters in the show, which he kind of has, and the viewer, because you're like, it's not fair, you replaced the good clone. I have no reason to like you. And he's like, all right, well, challenge accepted. I'm going to make people like me, and I'm going to feel like I fit in. Maybe that's what they do. Mm-hmm. Again, we're theorizing here.
And finally you get, like, Nika slapping him and being like, stop flirting with people in replacement of a personality. And he's like, oh shit.
Yeah. Being a Mineta is not a personality. Right.
Uh huh. Yeah. Guys, listen, I hear you. He's not as bad as Mineta.
No, not even close. They, like, completely unstopped doing that in modern MHA. Even when he's in it, they're just, yeah, like, not horny anymore.
It's because people hated it, right? Like, I mean, that's a type of character that I think plays better in Japanese culture than it does in like, Western culture. But, like, even then, it, you push it far enough and people are just like, this is a gross man and I don't want to see him, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
This is a gross man and I don't want to see him could also apply to... Oh, the fucking guy who ratted people out. Didn't one of the guy with the bowl cut, the kid with the bowl cut in school, Martin? Didn't he come up in this episode at some point?
Martin came up and actually he subverted our expectations because, or at least mine, I can't speak for you, I suppose. Sure. But when he saw Nika, like, do the SOS of, like, hey, I'm with you, don't shoot our ship, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the last core, I was like, it's really a bummer that Martin had to be the person to see, because I believe my line was like, if it was Lily Kay, you know she'd be the homie and come talk to you about it, but Martin's going to narc instantly. He didn't.
True. That is true.
And, you know, he's nonstop threatening to narc because he's a narc, but, like...
Well, the part that I thought of him as narking was when he told the police that Nika was a terrorist.
Did he do that?
He does, like, towards the end of the last episode, yeah.
Oh, shit, I forgot. That slipped by me.
Called the front police, damn, told them Nika was a terrorist, resulting in the house getting apprehended after the battle as they showed up to arrest her. That's because of him. And there's even a shot of him in, like, a hallway, like, reluctantly texting fucking cops.
What the fuck, man?
Martin's the op. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to break it to you.
Martin!
Martin!
I'm really disappointed in you, man. Yeah.
We were all rooting for you. yeah, I was not like completely blown away, shocked by that, but still a disappointing little moment. And like, I don't know, is she a terrorist? Technically, yeah, but you're causing more problems than not, buddy. Nika's just working with, she's working with them out of obligation, not because she wants to. I think we've spent enough of the show explaining that. Anyways, fuck Martin up.
Yeah, and I mean. Fuck Martin up,
comma Mont.
No, beat him up. Yeah, just beat the shit out of this boy.
Beat him up. Please don't assault the child.
He's a teenager.
Maybe there was a short time jump between the cores. Also,
there was 2 weeks. Listen, sure. he's a man,
he's a grown man. He's got he's got taxes. Any other?
He's got a 401k.
It's 402k now. What, any other notes? Any other things to talk about?
Future. What do you make of Shadik's whole plan?
He's capturing Mirini's dad again?
No, he's captured his own dad, and he's like, listen, here's the new plan is I'm going to sell all of the Benneret Group's assets to Earth, and then Earth will have power, and we'll create a stalemate so there's no war, but also Earth will do well, because I love Earth, because I'm half Earthian.
Weird. Shadik, weird.
It feels a little sloppy to me.
It does. Because I think it's coming from Shadik wanting power and, like, a little bit of independence in this, because so much of these things have been, like, not according to his plans, that he's like, you know what, fuck this. If I'm going to capture my dad, and I'm going to, like, further the goals of Earth, because that's what I want. And he's trying to, you know, a lot of this course of ours is about these young characters trying to do things for themselves and not just for other people for once. And struggling with that.
Yeah.
But it is sloppy. I totally agree.
Which also, for that, you know, they have historically called Dawnfold a terrorist group. And, like, you know, I guess that's, you know, it's technically true. They do sort of, like, deal in terror a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. But you do get to see in episode 3 here, like, I mean, they're revolutionaries. Rock on, you guys.
Yeah.
I support it.
I'm not inherently against Dawnfold right now. I mean, we'll see. The Gundam likes to make its rebels, like, cartoonishly evil so that everyone who has a mobile suit can be, like, likable. But, I don't know. Guerrilla activities under the guise of improving the status of Earthians. That sounds okay to me.
I mean, guise is sort of a mean word to use right there, but, you know, a little judgy.
We'll see. What's the guy, the Dawnfold guy in these episodes? He's got a funny name.
Olcott?
Yeah. Good job. Sure. I think we're going to see a lot more Olcott. I don't think they would drop his name so often and make his character design so detailed. his little bomber jacket if he wasn't a guy.
You think he and Gwell are going to have a buddy cop drama?
Oh, God, I hope so. I hope it's a Nathan Drake and Scully situation. Sully.
It's like good cop, bad cop, but no, like, as in, like, I'm good at my job, he's bad at his.
Yeah. Gwell doesn't even want to be good. He just is like, I don't know how to hold a gun. What do you mean interrogate?
One other thing to note, just a little thing. In episode 3 here, we see a lot of Plan of Fold.
Dawn of Fold,
fielding a mobile suit called the Prodoros.
Yeah.
This thing's fucking sick.
Oh, I didn't get a good look at
it. I love this machine. Oh, man, I can help out with that.
Please.
I know friends. I have a mecha podcast now, and so I know all the good sources. Let me slide on over to my friends over at the Mecha Anime Headquarters.
Okay, I found a screenshot of it, but I would like, yeah, some more.
There's not too much more than that, unfortunately.
Oh, somebody just cropped the screenshot.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Because they're not providing... Usually, they'll provide reference material when either they're planning a Gunpla or when they release, like, sort of an art book at the end of the core or something.
Sure.
But they can be very skimpy with stuff. But yeah, it's just this like mono-eyed boy with like, someone else has made this observation, but it's a good observation. He has like fold under guns that are reminiscent of like the like capital B, capital G. This is the name of the weapon, big gun on the Zaku cannon. It's just sort of like a chunky, like heavy machine gun Dom kind of thing that I just think is a really cool design.
I'm looking respectfully at it. I wish the colors were a little bit more unique, but I understand it's not a main character suit.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll possibly get, like, variants that are painted or something if someone wants an Ace version or something.
Yeah, but great forehead, great design. This is why I can't be a mechanista. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say besides, like, those knee pads are kind of cool.
He's a sick boy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also has a great big old sword lance thing.
This is a really... Oh, that's true. This is a weird thing about the fact that Witch for Mercury isn't... It's, like, deliberately not always about the fights. Like, fights happen because people need to resolve conflict. But over and over again, people are like, should we fight? And they're like, no, let's actually, like, either enter into a battle or talk it out. And it means that we don't get as many suits as that you usually get by now in a show. But I think what we're kind of backloading it. We're going to get... By the end of this core, I'm sure we'll see a lot of more mobile suits.
Well, and the other thing they do is they get stuff like the beginning of this season where they're like, oh, and you have to do like 8 duels in a row, and here are 8 new machines you'll see for literally a single camera shot.
You know, I'm okay with it, just if I can look at stuff.
Yeah. You know, just I just want the art book, right? I want more reference. Oh, speaking of which, last time we recorded, we had, I think it was last time, either that or the second, anyway, there was the one like unnamed new Witch from Mercury Gunpla.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
That's here as the Gundolva, which are like gun bits. They're like the G-bits from Gundam X. They're sick as hell.
Oh.
What if a funnel was a whole mobile suit? It's dope.
I'm trying to look it up.
So.
Oh, you know, if you look up Witch from Mercury on a Gunpla website... Oh, thank you.
Yep.
Let me take a look at it. Oh, yeah. Ooh, sleek and fun.
Mm-hmm.
Great head.
Yeah, just a friend.
Headpiece. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there actually are a decent number of kits. I'm sure a lot of these are imported, but I'm fine with that. There's a Delanza. There's an HG Delanza, which is Guel's mobile suit.
That one's out here.
There's a Michaelis. I think I saw that when I visited friend of the podcast, Nick, actually. They had a Michaelis in the store.
Oh, I thought you meant at his place. I was like, he still hasn't built the one I fucking bought him 3 years ago, but he built it. No.
When he gave me the tour of the house of New Earth, he was like, and this is the kitchen. And then he was like, now look down. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, look all the way at the bottom. Like, look at the floor. And he's like, in that little corner, that's where the unopened Gunpla kit is.
Unopened?
I'm sorry. Maybe it was opened. It was opened. I don't know. But it was like not close to done. Not even close to done.
Yeah. No, that sounds right.
It's just like,
it wasn't cheap.
And here's the Gunpla that I'm not building.
I mean, I guess he builds, you know, real Gunpla all day at work, yeah, so whatever. Sure. Yeah.
Sure, whatever. Anyways.
I'm actually pretty high on this season so far.
Yeah, It's, like I said, a little bit darker. We got some cool ideas. We're building up the stuff that we hoped for in season one. I'm faithful that they will keep it up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot more ambitious, and it's moving a lot faster, and I really enjoy that. And also, it feels like there are more stakes. There have been, like, they're still having, like, I guess either rushed episodes or budget issues or whatever, but there still are plenty of times where you're like, this animation looks kind of bad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's tolerable, right?
It is tolerable.
There was a shot which was like the Benaret group scouts like flying in to attack Donafold, right? And you had like three of them that were lined up and just moving straight forward, so they were basically unmoving on the screen. And then another group of three flew by in perfect formation, so like it was just like, oh, they were one object, and someone like click and dragged them across the screen as a group of three. It looked like shit.
It's like those Photoshop memes where someone just like clicks and drags a character like with the trumpet.
That's just like, oh boy, okay.
Yeah, budget, you know. I mean, maybe they're saving it time, for the second half of the season. I don't know. And yes, time, of course.
Well, who knows? But yeah, no, I am very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I was going to say give Lady Prospera a gun, but I'm positive she has a gun and she just doesn't use it.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to.
I hope she has a gun in her mask. I hope she could just fire from her. Like, what? Vulcans? What if she's the first human with head Vulcans?
Holy shit! Those little eye holes. It doesn't open to show her eyes. It's just guns. I'm into it.
But she's like, I have to have them. They're for shooting down missiles.
Beep 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 beep. Her auto. That was her auto target. To be clear.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Good job. They. Though, oh, one other thing we do have to say.
Yeah.
I this feels like the easiest called shot in the world, but enough people fucked it up that I think we get to do a victory lap anyway. We fucking told you that end scene wasn't gonna come up again.
Which one? Oh, the blood fucking thing.
Suleta, the blood thing. It's just like, I mean, there's a
yeah.
One line of dialogue of like, maybe Suleta went too far. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, come on, guys. I want... It was like, either make that the whole premise of the first episode, is her dealing with that, or like, I don't know, incorporate it into the arc. Instead, it's just like that, they are no longer together. Think of them as separate entities. Which is like, that was the core of the whole fucking show. And then the ending has the gall, the audacity, to put them together like it's a hardcore Yuri in like beautiful bliss and dancing and stuff. And I'm like, no, you guys just separated them. God damn it.
They'll be back.
They'll be back.
Also, is that your theory? Interesting.
What, that they'll be back?
No, in the ending.
Oh, that they're in love? What?
I don't know that that's... I don't think that's Suleta.
Oh.
For most of that.
Oh, you think that's Eri?
I think that's Eri.
Why would Eri and Miorine hang out together?
She's been in Ariel before.
Six. Go home. One of them is a robot. One of them is a mobile suit. The other is a girl. They can't.
How dare you? Look at this bigot over here.
No, if they're going to do that, I want to see literally Ariel dancing with Miorine. Like, gigantic 15-foot, 50-foot mobile, like, Gundam dancing with a child. I think that would be funny.
Yeah. No, it's the actual answer is I don't think the shots with both of them are, but the ones where it is like a person who looks like an older Suleta, like aid of her or her directing the bits.
Yeah.
I think those ones are.
It's probably Eri. Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
She looks good with the long hair.
Yeah, I'm wondering. That's another thing where I'm like, are you going to do a time jump? Like, just let her grow her hair out. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I do agree. It's good, though. Good look.
I really, you know, we don't know exactly how Eri is incorporated into Ariel. I really hope she can't just, like, get out and she's just a person. That would suck so much.
Oh, stop, yeah.
I don't think they'd do that, but can you just imagine, like, the second to last episode had, like, you know, like, a fucking, like, cold, like, a cryo storage thing opens up and she steps out. You're like, this is garbage, y'all.
Yeah, if they do anything, it'll be, like, Full Metal Alchemist, where like we can see Al not in the suit sometimes, but only in dreams or in like the whatever hell world, not in real life ever.
Mm-hmm.
Except the first episode. Anyways, we should watch Full Metal Alchemist again. It's really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really good.
Sure. All right.
We will not be back next week.
Well, I guess we got to go do that. Yeah, no, we won't be back next week. We might be back at the end of the core, but don't count on it. If it happens, it's a nice bonus for you. Don't worry about it.
Oops, My Anime is a bonus podcast, both for us and our already standard overloaded workloads, and for you, the listener. You get it when there's stuff to talk about.
Can you believe this is going to be about as long as when we would discuss a single episode?
I'm looking at the time right now, and I'm like, how did we get here? I don't know.
We're just being more efficient, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We're really good at our job.
All right. Well, until next time, folks, which might not happen, you know, until another pot. I'm just going to say peace out.
Okay, goodbye. Do we want to do a plug zone Amuro or?
Oh, sure. I guess we did. God damn it.
Every time, but at least you didn't call me Dylan.
Not yet.
Not yet. Six, where can be found?
Hey, Dylan.
Hey, Dylan.
You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. That's where, you know, you should find all my stuff, scanlamedia.com, patreon.com, scanlamedia. But that is also where you would DM any questions, comments, that sort of thing. Did you know that the hot take from this latest episode is like, man, this show should have been about Gwell? Shut the fuck
what?
Up.
No, it's cool. It's a good arc. Let it be an arc, a side arc, though. It's not what the show is about.
It's like, damn, it would be so nice if this wasn't about
Gwell. Yeah, wait. Gwell. Yeah, exactly. Up. It's so good if this was a typical Gundam show.
What if it was about a boy who got in the Gundam and was traumatized? You know, we want to tell a new story.
I'm going to hit stop now.
Wait, Alan.
Oh.
Where can people find you, doofus?
Dinkus? Sorry, I received a phone call. I should have just told you I received a phone call, but instead I said I'm hitting stop now like a normal person. Hey, guys, what's going on? Chat's a television podcast. CHATZ: a television podcast. My friend John and I watch TV every week like a book club. And we discuss it, and we do jokes, and it's fun. Right now, we're doing 13 Under 13, which is our season on shows that didn't make it more than 13 episodes before getting canceled. We just finished our coverage of Birds of Prey, and we're on a very short hiatus, but we will be back with other types of podcasts all about TV and TV media and culture, and our next 13 Under 13 show, which we'll be announcing soon.
Woo. That's all I got. Maybe I get to be on for that one. Maybe I'll work it out this time.
Oh, it's a really dumb show. You should be on it.
Excellent. All right. Well, peace out, everybody.
Bye-bye. Oh, kid, you hanaga kiroku saite toke ni naru kitsu darake no negai o koete kimi wa momoteru sadadu motomete motomete oshinatte iru mushoku no chippu 気づいて締め付けた赤色の感性が美しく見えて